Okay, ready? Someone remind me where we were. We're up to Se'if.
We did the Ramban.
Yes, which means that we had finished Lama Tess, and we're up to Mem. Okay. Sif Mem. I mentioned this a few times here and there, but we never officially saw it in the Shulchan Aruch. Do you need a mikvah lady? Again, you know, nowadays there are a lot of people who are into not having mikvah ladies. I think part of it is because, like, we're into more privacy nowadays, but I think more of it is because we're into people not telling us what to do nowadays. And, you know, independence, and there shouldn't be, you know, anyone who knows better than us, even just because they can see an angle we can't see. So, okay, they sued in the Supreme Court in Israel for the right to tovel without mikvah ladies. Right, if someone wants to tovel without a mikvah lady, then I won't kick them out of the mikvah, but it's still usher. Sarach Lahamad al-Gabi Yehudis Gedola. You have to have standing on the woman who tovels an adult female Jewess. Yosir Yud Beisham Yom Echad above Bat Mitzvah. Why? Because female, because otherwise it's not Tznius, obviously. And Jewish, and above Bat Mitzvah, because otherwise you don't have Nemanus of Eid Echad Neman B'Yisur. Why? Shetirish Lo Yishom Yisar Rosh Otsof Al Pnei Amayim. Right, what's the function? Mikvah lady, to make sure the woman's hair is underwater, because you can't feel if your hair is underwater if you have long hair. It doesn't have nerve endings. You can't tell if it's wet. And let's say your hair is 12 inches long. It's hard to know if you put your head 12 inches down into the water, you know, 11.9 inches down or 12.1 inches into the water. And therefore, you need a mikvah lady. And of course, she's becheskes tuma, so you really need a mikvah lady to make sure that she told, because misafik, we'd assume she didn't. And unlike chatzitzas, let's say you have a chatzitz on a little bit of your hair. So that's drabanan, miyot makbid, maybe it's even not a problem, misha'ino makbid. That's the chatzitza. But if it's not in the water, if it's floating on the surface, and half of it's out of the water, that's the oraisa, even in 0.01%. That's much worse than chatzitza, that's not being in the water. So therefore, it's very chamer, that's why you need a mikvah lady. V'im ein la misha kamal gaba. What if she doesn't have a mikvah lady? Oshuba laila, or it's nighttime and there's no light, so the mikvah lady can't see. Tichov sara roshem chodetemer butzusha barosa uvad chetarapim ovishal shor shalchutim chalulos okusheres begum rafayal sarosah. Basically, a hairnet, right? If there's no mikvah lady b'diavet, then the next best option is to put something on her hair. What were the examples here? To use the woolen strings, or leather strings that are loose, or woven hollow things of that are woven that are loose, or tie a beged loosely onto her head. Nowadays, I think there's such a thing called hairnet, whatever. Just tie it on loosely, and if it's rafoi, that's not l'chachiluk or terminig, but if you have no choice, then it is okay. Says the Pesach Tshuva here, quoting Rabbi Kiva Eger, that it's ma'akev b'dievet. If she doesn't do anything, then even b'dievet, it doesn't count because she doesn't know if her went in the water or not. So this is very, very hard. What if she doesn't have a mikvah lady and she doesn't have anything to tie in her hair? Is there any other option? So if you just look on the page here, it might seem like there isn't. However, if you look in the Sidrei Tara in the back, I won't make you all turn, but if you want to just write down the Marimakum, it's Sifkatan Ayin Tess. Sifkatan Ayin Tess. Oh, it says in the Pesach Tshuva, look in the Sidrei Tara, Mashal Kasam, say Marshak. Okay, I believe in listening to Talmidei Chachamim, so I'm going to look in the Sidrei Tara, Sifkatan Ayin Tess, when he quoted me, Marshak, Marshak Bahago Husav, Allah Rush, that's what we call the first Shmuel. Sof Maseches Nida Kasav, Umikomakum Nira Dafka Bishain is Riza, Ubihilu Bamayim, well, Hech is Riza, Vain of Hell's Bamayim, Topsasar Vyoda, Shemayim Olam Hate of Roosevelt, Possibly Adar, Rishapur, Tvilov Shasakak, Lisma Chazet. He says there's a plan C. Plan A is Mikvah Lady, plan B is a loose hairnet. There's a plan C. If she's someone who's very comfortable in the water, not afraid of water at all, then she can actually just hold her hair with her hands, make sure it goes down into the water, let go for a second, and she'll know that all her hair is underwater. In a big shasakak, that's a plan C, if she's someone who's comfortable in the water, So therefore, there is a plan C if you are really stuck. Just, I'll point out one other thing. We mentioned in Kuf Tzadi Hei, in the Pesach Tshuva, that the Nebuchadnezzar discussed, if she has no mikvah lady, Can she bring a Goyish woman? No, the Goyish woman is no nemanis. Can she bring an 11-year-old girl? No, she has no nemanis. Could she bring a man? No, a man can't look at her when she's naked. Could she bring her husband? B'dieved, if there's no mikvah lady, she can bring her husband. And even though she's a need announced and she's about to be tahori, he's allowed to look at her. And says the Bach that bringing her husband is plan A and a half, is better than the hairnet. Okay, it's a matter of she's comfortable. What if she says she's not comfortable bringing her husband, whatever, then it's covered up rios, then okay, then the hairnet. But says the Bach, bringing her husband is plan A and a half. Okay, Sif Mem Aleph, after a question from Mickey.
No.
Okay, Mem Aleph. Hamafsheles bina. This may or may not be a Gemara, right? It's the Rambam and the Rach have this line in the Gemara, and most Rishonim just don't have the line in the Gemara. So here's the issue. What does the line say, if it exists? Hamafsheles bina lachoreach she a room of tampapla. Not really halacha maisa nowadays, right? But she has her baby, right? So she puts her baby on her back. You know, when she's totally naked, right? Because she's no babysitter. Lo also la tefila. Not tzma'akev la tefila. Why? Shema yatit paraglia tinok obiyadav. V'nidbak v'imo. Because kids are always dirty. Maybe he had some mud on his hands and feet and it got stuck to her. V'chatz v'shasa tefila v'chatzitza. V'achsha also nafal. Even though she checks now and she doesn't have it, maybe it fell out afterwards. Therefore, like, obviously she checked the baby, whatever. We're so worried about babies being dirty that it's tzma'akev b'dieved. That is the girsa of the Rambam. In the Gemara, however, says the Shach, that not true. The Bach Paskins, that's fine with the Eved, because most Rishonim don't have such a gersa. What do you mean? Who says babies are always dirty? You can check them and see they're clean. So it's a big machlok, something the later post going to Paskin. Lamaisa, I don't think it ever happens. Membase, but if we're stuck, we'd rely on the Shach. Membase, yeah.
The baby's on her back?
Yeah, she's like holding the baby's like on her when she tumbles. The assumption is he's holding on loosely. Or there's water in between. Or let's say you get rid of that problem.
Even if the baby wasn't dirty, like, shouldn't you be concerned that she's not going to do a good feel?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, maybe in those days they're more comfortable carrying their babies to all kinds of inside pools of water. Unclear.
Are we concerned about the temperature of the baby that they don't do a correct tefillah?
The what?
The temperature of the baby.
No, I mean, nowadays they always heat the mikvahs, which makes it easier for the women to not rush. But halachically, even if it was freezing cold, we would trust her.
Just the fact that the mikvah lady thing, that's totally drabbanan, right?
The mikvah lady? No, I think it's midoraisa. How do we know her hair's under the water? Midoraisa, we need to know she's under the water. How do we know? Now, you can have different ways of knowing. Plan A, plan B, plan C.
What does it mean midoraisa we have to know? Meaning...
We have to know she tovelt. She's becheskas toma. Unless she proves she tovelt, then she's still tmea.
She needs like Ada, so to speak?
No, she needs to know for sure. But how does she know for sure if no one's watching her?
Or she can do it.
If she does it in a chnami. Meaning, let's say she knows her hair is exactly 12 inches long. And she knows there's like a little yellow mark 15 inches below the water. And like she puts her head below that in a chnami. But, okay, so you're right. You just need some way of figuring it out. But it's easier said than done.
I'm saying this is different than every other. Like, you don't need a mashgiach for every mitzvah in the Torah. I mean, this one because...
No, no, this is because you can't see yourself. Any mitzvah in the Torah, which you can't see with your own eyes, you need another pair of eyes to help you with. It would be the same thing. Let's say I had the shecht and I couldn't see it with my eyes, and I couldn't tell that I'd have to have someone else helping me. Just, there are very few things where you can't see with your own eyes, but you can't see where your hair is behind your head in the water. So that's just, it's one of those funny things that it happens to be. Of course she's Naman, if she knows. But it's one of these funny things that you can't see with your own eyes. So what can you do? You need someone else to check on you. You know, scratching a certain part of your back. Okay, if you can't reach, you need someone else. It's not a halacha, it's just, that's the way it works out technically. Okay, and then it becomes halacha. Membeis. Nichlus turus v'kissim v'sitke raglami l'mata chotzim. If pebbles and twigs get into sitke regleha, means the cracks between her toes, then it's chotzeitz, because then it gets stuck in tightly, and it is chotzeitz. Mem gimel, ispilanis belugma urtia, this is also, this should not be a chiddush for us, ispilanis belugma urtia, different types of bandages and salves and whatever, shall beis hastar, even in beis hastar, mechotzim. Okay, because we know already, it's just like, there's another makor about it, so he quotes another application that a chatzit and beis hastarim is chotzeitz. The beis hastarim doesn't need to get wet, but it needs to be able to get wet. The Ramah here says a chiddush. Yesh omrim she'isha tzrich lahatel mayim kodesh v'lo asa. She has to urinate before she totals, meaning she has to try. You know, she has to urinate if she needs to. I mean, tzrich lekach, right? If she needs to. Gam tzrich livdok gam tzrich lahatel mayim. Not only that, not only if she knows she has to urinate, she should, like, shouldn't be holding it in. She should check before she tovels, make sure that she doesn't have to do gedolim or ketanim, either kind of going to the bathroom. Why? She won't have to hold it in. What's so bad about holding it in when you tovel? It won't be roi labias mayim. Gam tzrich lahatzer. So, okay. End of this. What's the problem here? What's the problem? What's not going to be roi? Let's say she's holding it in. What difference does it make? What's so bad about holding it in? How does that make it not roi labias mayim? Where's the chatzitza if she's holding it in? So here is a machlokas achronim. No one's on the page. The Shut Rabbi Kiva Eger says that the actual soar or Megrag Lion's not chotzeis, that's inside. Right? What's chotzeis is that if you have to hold it in, you often like clench parts of your body. Like sometimes you have to hold it in, you go like this. And when she has to hold it in, she might stand in a way that clenches the parts of her body together and doesn't let the water go in there. And like maybe the base has started with the genital area, she'll tighten too much to hold it in and the water won't be able to get in. The Aruch HaShulchan gives a different shot. He says, no, maybe the actual tzor or the miraglayim will be mamish starting to come out. And then it'll prevent the water, like when it's inside, that's malua, right? But it'll start to come out and it'll prevent the water, and it'll be a chatzitza on like the very outer border area of where it comes out. Okay, so we're not sure if it's that the tzor or miraglayim will be mamish start to come out and be a chatzitza, or just that she'll hold her body tight because she's holding it in. But either way, that is a chash that we have. And therefore, l'chatchila, she has to go to the bathroom beforehand. Just let me finish. She also has to take the mucus out of her nose. Remember, we saw earlier that it doesn't mean an unreasonable way. It just means, you know, the mucus that's in the, you know, part of the nose close to the outside that you would normally blow your nose and remove. Or, you know, if you sense it's still there, you know, take a Q-tip and take it out.
Did we see by the chymo that in the ear that it wasn't really the reason why it's okay?
No, so that was a chiddush mer moshe and b'shasa and a big shasa chak, and you have no choice, etc. Definitely not l'chatchila. Definitely not l'chatchila. Here we're talking l'chatchila. We're not saying it's ma'akiv.
Is there any issue, though, that it's like a time thing and you want her to spend as much time in the mikvah? And we don't want her to just...
I mean, you could also say we don't want her to rush. Okay, that's also a good svar. It's not the svar of the Ramah, but I think it's a good svar.
Say that the Torah itself is a chatzitza. Like, why is that? Why is that not balua?
No, because the Aruch HaShulchan has to have a weird chash that it's starting to come out. It's balua. So your two choices are either the Aruch HaShulchan said it's starting to come out, which is like a big chash, or Rabbi Kiva Eger, no, we just mean you'll hold yourself tight. You know, I think Rabbi Kiva Eger is probably more likely just because, like, it's going to really start to come out. That's, you know, but you never know. If you hold it in long enough, I guess so.
Is there a time to say something like, hold on, like, if it's, like, about to come out, maybe it's, like, you that would be considered?
No, because it's still in the balua. If it's totally inside your body, then even if you put, you know, a Band-Aid there, it's not chotze, so you can put whatever you want.
Are women today taught to...
Yeah, they always go to the bathroom before they... Yeah. I mean, it's not such a hard thing to do. No, but one of the things they learn in the Kala class is that before you tovel, you should make sure to try going to the bathroom if you need to. They have a bathroom in the mikvah, so it's not so hard. You don't have to, like, walk to the outhouse.
I assume if a woman has, let's say, like, constipation issues, then, like, she...
It means be normal. Okay. Mem Dalet. Haisa ba sara achas oshtayim chutz lamaka. Okay, this is just Nosefta. She is one or two hairs outside of a wound. Rosha modmuk lamaka. And, you know, sometimes, like, a hair from next to the cut will get caught in the scab and, like, absorbed into the scab of the cut. O shahayu shtei saros rosha modmuk petit, or two saros, the top of them was stuck to were stuck together with some mud, or with soa, or with some dirt. Oh, shayish teisaros barisei namelamata. This sounds a little weird. But not from gold tzion barisei namelamala. Two of her lower eyelashes made holes in the eyelid and came out on top. The chimayish teisaros barisei nashamata mudbakas barisei nashamata. Two of her lower eyelashes are stuck to her upper eyelashes. Harei eluchotzim. This is all chatzitza. Okay, why are a lot... I mean, it makes sense. All these things, like the water can't get to. Why are a lot of these things Dafka 2 hears? So, Lechora, because people weren't Makbid if it was 1 here, they're only Makbid if it was 2 hears. I tend to suspect some of these things nowadays won't be Makbid even if it was 1 here. Okay. Memhei, lo titbal v'avak shalaglav. She shouldn't tovel with dirt on her feet. Vim tavla, yesh o, misha omer she'eno chotzeit. Some, there yesh omer in that, it's not... This is a machlokes in the Rambam and the Rash, right? The Rash being the Rash Mishan, son of Shnayis and Taros. The Rambam says it's only lachachila, not good, but b'diavad it's okay. The Rash says even b'diavad it's no good. Elam kain shifshu al shetavu l'chavin, unless she either wiped her feet off or told in hot water, because hot water like immediately caused the dirt to float off your feet, while cold water could cause it to stick to your feet. Okay, I mean nowadays the woman wouldn't really. Wash your dirt on the feet anyway. And here it doesn't mean mud. Obviously you shouldn't tell with mud on your feet. It means just dirt. But when you put your foot into the mikveh, it becomes mud. So if it's cold water and you didn't wipe your feet a little in the mikveh, then it's a machlok we've shown them and it could be ma'akif. Memvav. Nida shtav v'vigdeha muteris l'bala. If she told wearing clothing, she's muteris. It doesn't sound here so l'chachila. We know l'chachila, we don't have any chatzitzas. But b'diyev, if she told in her clothing, is she is... Mutter says the shach, of course, it only means loose-fitting clothing, not tight-fitting clothing. Because tight-fitting clothing will be chatzitza, but loose-fitting clothing, you know, like a loose dress. She tells him a loose dress, then it is not ma'akev. Sometimes a woman might not have a choice, like even though it's only b'dievet, and the shach said chak, let's say she has to tovel someplace where there's a lot of people who might see her, you know, in a lake or something, and there's no place private, then what could she do? So she might have to tovel in a dress, otherwise... She will not be able to find a way to normally tovel. But again, that's not, obviously not l'chadchit.
How bad is this?
Use your judgment. Okay, menzai. Min kinen shedvukin bebasar. Lice that stick to your skin, the noshkin be'orb makam seir, and bite your skin where the hair comes out, meaning your scalp. V'nidbakim b'chod b'chod, and they get stuck very hard. You have to use hot water to wash your hair and get rid of the lice. This, by the way, is a big issue, right? A lot of women, once they have kids who are old enough to go to daycare or gone or whatever, so they end up getting lice because the kids bring them, you know, kids bring friends home from gone and share the friends with their mother. So you have to get rid of the lice and scratch them off with your fingernail. I mean, even if they're stuck, you have to use hot water and scratch them off. Or nowadays our lice, I don't think they're stuck to our scalp, but there's a lot of them stuck all over your hair, so you have to use the lice comb very carefully. Like, it's an avodah to get rid of lice, so you have to do the avodah. Now, in our generations, we do it even if you're not going to mikvah. But you have to try very hard to get rid of the lice. What if you can't? Meaning, this is also one of these things from the Ramban last time. Go know you got rid of all the lice. Right? I mean, everyone will say, how do I know I got rid of all the lice? So, any ochel asirin, if you can't get rid of them, or if you do the best you can, and, you know, you did the best you can, and there's really, you know, nothing more that you can do, and you can never be sure, and you can never know you got rid of all of them, and if it's stoma, you missed one or two, ain't no chotzeis, then it's not chotzeis, because that's not called makbid. Makbid is not interesting. It doesn't mean you'd rather not have lice. No, makbid means you would remove them. You would remove what you could remove. What you can't remove, you live with, right? You only want to remove what you can remove. And therefore, if you remove the lice as best you can, then what's left is called eino makbid, and is not chotzeis. That's very important.
There, in the first place, it's probably eino makbid, right?
What?
In those days, even when it's there, it's probably eino makbid.
I don't know about that.
Because everybody was walking around with lice.
Yeah, but I think they prefer not to have. The Grum mentions another factor in Nun Gimel. Most of the Achronim say, why is it not Machbid? Because of, why is it not Chotzeis? Because not Machbid. The Grum mentions another factor in Nun Gimel. Came to Revise Yivein Machbedis. It's also Revise. Revise meaning not you'll die without them, but it's like the normal way to live. Most of the Achronim say, we're not sure lice is Revise, it's the normal way to live, but they agree that it is. That if you got rid of all you can, then the rest is eino makbid, is not ma'akev, and you could tovel. How about nitz? So the Pesach Tshuva, Sifkat and the Chav Hey, quotes in the Chamud of Daniel, actually that's not nitz, that's the dead lice. You have to take them off also. We assume nitz also, you have to comb up the nitz as much as you can, but just do what you can. And then it is, okay.
Is the same principle applied to those healing by the sticker that you try so hard to get out, but you can't?
You see, the stickers are a little funny because you can always get off the stickers. It's just that sometimes you didn't like bring the right equipment. Are they really stickers you can't get off?
Gugan.
With Gugan, it's poshut, right? You should make it. Someone should open a Gugan gemach at every kehillah mikvah, right? That would be a good mitzvah. Theoretically, yes. I just think that, like, most people, like, if you go to real balabasta, she'll get rid of all the sticky stuff.
Are you mechuyev to, like, you know, use a converter, like, to do go all out and do what you can?
I think most people would. They wouldn't tolerate it. Anyway, just one second. The Shach Nun Ches says, this is what he said, if you can get rid of lysine, you don't, it's makib b'dievet. But you have to balance that using normalcy with, you know, if you did the best you can, then it's okay.
I always say that you might not be able to get all the lights out, but go to someone that is an expert in the lights out. And the same thing with the sticker. I mean, yeah, I can't get it off, but there are people that can.
Because I don't think people... No, I think that regular people usually get all the sticker off. I don't think regular people...
You know,
go to a, you know, exterminator when they have lice. They just do the best they can.
Yeah. Maybe a similar question, but like, what if, like, right now, for tomorrow, she can get a special shampoo that'll really get rid of everything. So does she need to wait till tomorrow? Or could she still be somebody to come back? If she can get it out now, tomorrow she can. Though.
I think if you comb the best you can, it's okay. Okay, mem. But whatever, Chachamim and Rosh, you should try to do the best you can. Mem Ches. Okay, we're done with chatzitza. But we're not done with the siman. Mem Ches has a few interesting things. Number one, kavana. Do you need kavana for tvila? Machlokes amoran between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Right? Do you need kavana? Says Rav, no, you don't need kavana. Why? In one five-letter word, why do you not need kavana for tevila? Is that too hard of a question? Okay, in any amount of letters and words, why do you not need kavana for tevila according to Rav? Because even though it says many places in Shas, you need kavana to tovel, right? And as a matter of fact, what if you have kavanah to eat truma? Then your tefillah doesn't even work to eat kadshim because you didn't have kavanah to eat kadshim. Says Rav, no, kavanah for tefillah is only for truma and kadshim. For chulin, you don't need kavanah. And bala chulin hu, for hilchos nida nowadays, for taras and mishpacha, that's chulin, and therefore chulin doesn't need kavanah. He admits for truma she need kavanah. But chulin doesn't need kavanah. Rav Yochanan says, yes, you do need kavanah. How do we paskin? Big machlokas rishonim. The Rambam and the Rach. Here we get the Rambam and the Rach. All say, like Rav, you don't need kavana. Who else does Yosef quote? The Smag and the Ran. But the Rashba says you do. Okay, the Rashba is a big name in halacha. And they also quoted the Hagosa Shri on the side of the Rosh and the Rukeach and the Rabbeinu Yerucham. No one learns Rabbeinu Yerucham nowadays. That was a very important halacha book back in the day. Okay. Yeah, which is probably Tosafot.
Bad mistake, right?
Yeah. Okay, anyway. Don't get me started. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Nida shetavla below kavana, go to Nafl took mine, she fell into the water. Oh, she yarda lahaker, or she just went to cool off. Harezim uteris labala, says the Mechaber, like Rav, no problem. She's tahora even without kavana. However, says the Ramah, v'yesh machmirim matzmichnos atvilas acheres. Yeah, there's a decent number of Rishonim, relatively, who are machmir. Paskins, this is Sfarad. Paskins are on Prashkinazim. V'yesh lahachmir lechatchila. What does he mean by lechachila? This is a funny usage of the word lechachila. Because the whole machlokz is, b'dievet is an also. So what does he mean? It's a funny use of lechatchila. He means even b'di'evah she tovel without kavana, lechatchila she should tovel again. I know it's a funny usage of lechatchila, but the Shach explains that lechatchila, he first says tovel again without a bracha, meaning equals em efshar tachzor v'titvo. I know this is more of b'di'evah, but it means if she can go back, she go back with kavana, and if not, it's okay. Pretty unlikely to happen. What woman is going to go and like accidentally go to mikvah?
And she made a bracha.
Obviously, she didn't make a bracha. She made a bracha. She had kavana.
And the bracha's not rocking.
Bracha's never rocking. No. Anyway, it's very unlikely to happen.
We use the kula with the woman going to the beach.
The famous Rav Moshe Tshuva, right? The famous Rav Moshe Tshuva said, "Ah, oh, for sure, this non-from lady was the mother." The potential mother-in-law didn't have kavana. Okay, he says that's fine. The mechaber says if you told without kavana, you have to go back. And the Rambam says you have to go back if you can. But really, you're okay if you didn't go back.
Right. Okay. Don't we assume that? Let's say something like a chafifa is not kevet, and therefore, if she's doing it without kavana, she probably didn't do a chafifa, and therefore we have nothing at the end.
That is a good point. Unless you have to say, to defend the Rav Moshe, you'd have to say that nowadays when we have hygiene, mistama, everyone regularly checks their body that at least they don't have a chatzitza rover their body, and therefore there's not a mishnah d'oraisa at least. And once that mishnah d'oraisa at least, so then he doesn't worry about it.
Did I say
she doesn't make a bracha the second time? She doesn't make a bracha the second time.
Shachs of kadmon test. Even though she didn't say it the first time.
Correct. In general, if you do a mitzvah without a bracha, you can't. If you do it again, you still can't say a bracha, right? If I shake lulav without a bracha, I can't shake it again with a bracha. I just lost the bracha. So that's the general rule. The Pesachei Tshuva points out that no one says you need kavana for exactly what you're going to do. For example, what if she tovled and she thought she wouldn't sleep with her husband? Right? She thought it was medically usher to sleep with her husband, whatever. So she just tovel to be able to touch her husband. Says that's fine. It's not like kutchim, where like, if I tovel to eat truma and not to eat shlamim, I can only eat truma and not shlamim. If I tovel to eat shlamim and not to carry the paraduma, the mei para, I can only eat shlamim and not carry the mei para, etc. No, she doesn't have to have kavana for specifically what she's going to do, whether she's going to do harchakos or whether she's going to do bia. As long as she has kavana for taras nida, that is good enough. Continuing the Ramah. Next halacha. Agav. Interestingly, the Shach and Tazbos point out, you don't necessarily need the kavana of the person who's toveling. You just need the kavana of the person who is causing it to happen. So, for example, if I dunk someone in the water, my kavana is good enough, because someone had kavana for this tefillah. So, for example, let's say the woman's a shelter or something, she doesn't have kavana, she doesn't know what she's doing, someone else could just bring her into the water and have kavana, and that would be good enough. I don't know how common that scenario is. But,
why
in the old days, what do they do? If there was a 1-month old baby they wanted a tovel and they used a tovel of a tara, how do they have kavana? Whoever's holding him had kavana.
Is tefillah different from the rest of the kalah? Mitzvah tefillah kavana or any other tefillah?
Yes, because mitzvah tefillah kavana means when you like want to be yotzei mechayim mitzvah. Here, you just want to be tahor. You don't necessarily want, we pass in tefillah was manalav mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to tovel, it's just a halos. So it could be that every chalos doesn't require kavana, right? To be yotzei mitzvah, meaning to get credit for doing a mitzvah, I might need kavana, or I might not. But over here, it's different. To change my status could be more chomer, or could be more kal. That's why it's not totally separate. Continuing in the Ramah, says the Ramah, Yesha kasfu, and we pass this way, a woman should keep the night of her tefillah private, meaning she shouldn't tell anyone when she's toveling. Why shouldn't she tell anyone when she's toveling? Not because it's embarrassing to keep it musnida, because everyone knows that it's a special mitzvah. And when the night, on mikvah night, the husband and wife are supposed to sleep together. It's a special mitzvah of ona. So if she tells people when she's going to mikvah, I know nowadays there are some people who put on social media when they're going to mikvah. Okay. I'm not trying to offend them, but we'll see what the Ramah says about them in one more line. What's wrong with putting when you go to mikvah? After all, it's good to be orthodox and to keep the laws of mikvah. Yes, but everyone knows that when you go to mikvah, you're going home to sleep with your husband. And therefore, you're not supposed to publicize the exact night when the husband and wife are sleeping together. So therefore, that's the minute they hide their tevilah. They don't go with a lot of noise, over if they are brios or in front of a lot of people watching them enter the mikvah. So people shouldn't notice. Okay, now, this doesn't mean it has to be like Mossad, you know, state secret, if I tell you I have to kill you. What this means is that she should keep it as secret as possible. What if she has to tell one person? Sometimes she has to, right? She needs her mother's help to, you know, watch the kids, whatever. Okay, make an excuse. Tell your mother you want to go to the movies. Then she should watch the kids. She's not that dumb. You know, or it's like a family event and she needs someone, her mother, to help her make an excuse or whatever the case may be. So, you know, she needs someone to drive her. You know, and her husband can't drive. Okay, it doesn't mean she can't tell one person or two people on a need-to-know basis. It just means she should keep it as secret as possible. You know, then what pasuk applies to the husband of a woman who publicizes her tefillah? Arur shochev in behema. Okay, that is not politically correct. V'yesh l'nashon lizork shigotz min tefillah. And also another minhag. This is al pi pnimia. You know, this is al pi sod. A woman should be careful when she leaves the mikvah. She yifka v'chaverta, to first meet her friend, meaning to first meet another Jewish woman. Or theoretically a man if she's already dressed. Shalo yefka batchila davar tame, so that she doesn't first meet a treif animal. O goy, or she doesn't first meet a goy. V'impagaba dvarim elu, and if when coming out of the mikvah, before she sees a Jewish person, she sees a goy or a non kosher animal, which have a certain metaphysical uncleanliness. It's not a halacha, it's an alpi sod, but if she really cares, then she should tovel again because it's going to have bad mystical effects on her. Luckily for us, the Shach discusses, and if you have no choice, like what psukim you could say to protect yourself from that, etc., etc. Luckily for us, we don't have to worry about this because we have a mikvah lady. So it means leaves the pool of water. When she leaves the pool of water, she sees the mikvah lady first. So therefore, it's not a problem because since she sees the mikvah lady before anyone else, so she's yotzei and she doesn't have to worry about any of these metaphysically negative forces that might affect her. Last Ramah. Look at the end of Siman Reish Aleph, which is not in our curriculum. It's how to build a kosher mikvah. Are you allowed to put hot water in the mikvah? Why? It's a machlokes rishonim. Some say gzeiras merchatzos. If you put hot water in the mikvah, you'll confuse a mikvah with a bathhouse, and you'll just go to the bathhouse. Baruch Hashem, we don't paskin that way. The Ramah says, if you go to Siman Reish Aleph, I don't have it in this volume. He says, no, we hold there's no such gzeiras merchatzos that you can put hot water in the mikvah. All our mikvahs are heated. I mean, they no longer pour hot water. In the old days, how did you heat a mikvah? You would take a big cauldron of water, light a fire, heat it up, and pour it into the mikvah. Nowadays, they just like put a heater in the mikvah, you know, under the water. We can have hot mikvahs nowadays, and it's not a problem. We hold it's not going to be confused with merchatzos. Sam.
Is there anything that would not let people know, like, that she is in EW?
So, okay, so interesting question. You definitely have to keep quiet when you're going to the mikvah, because then you're going to sleep together. You have to be quiet when you sleep together. Do you have to keep quiet whether you're in nida or not? Halachically, there is no requirement or need to hide whether or not you're in nida. Many women nowadays are just personally not comfortable with it. You know, they're personally uncomfortable, but there's no halachic requirement to hide whether you're in nida or not. Obviously, I wouldn't go shouting from the rooftops on a nida nowadays because that would just be weird and you shouldn't do things that people consider weird. But you don't have to hide it. For example, let's say whatever, I go to my wife and I hand her something hand to hand. Oh, everyone who sees me hand to hand will see she's not a nida. So what? They don't know that means we're going to sleep together tonight, right? Just because she's not a nida, we don't sleep together every night. They have no idea, right, when we sleep together. So that's not a problem. So it's no problem for people to know, let's say I hand my wife something. You know, everyone knows she's the hover. That's fine. That's not a problem. Because I'm not saying tonight you're sleeping together. And likewise, what if I don't hand something to her and I put it on the table and she picks it up and she's a nida? Now, will the women nowadays be embarrassed about it? Yes, you respect that. But it's not a halacha. That's just everyone's personal
you know, everyone has to do what's comfortable for them. But there's no halachic problem either way.
There's no halachic problem either way. It's not something that one has to halachically be embarrassed about, although I admit that it's something which a lot of women are embarrassed about nowadays. But that's you know, their personal inyan. There's no halachic requirement. And keep in mind, once upon a time,
everyone
knew if you were nidah or not, because we kept Tumah v'Tahara. Okay, and last, Ramava, I in the common soul some Ramesh Aleph in Mutar Hatocham Lamitva. Sorry, that's red. O in Mutar Lirchotachar Tefillah. Are you allowed to bathe, to shower after mikvah? Why would you not be allowed to shower after mikvah? Because once upon a time, right, this is one of the how many things?
18.
One of the 18 things? I mean, it says Dvarim. One of the 18 decrees. Sounds a little more specific. As a matter of fact, is a little more specific. Once upon a time, their mikvos were very dirty. Keep in mind, they didn't have all the modern things with mikvahs, etc. What was a mikvah? Well, there's one near my house. If you want, you can come look at a mikvah from the time of the Samikdash, or at least close. I don't know who's proven exactly when it's from. It's from around the time of the Samikdash. You know, someone will say it's 200 years off. I have no idea. I'm not an archaeologist. What was a mikvah? It's Eretz Yisrael is very rocky, right? So you would just like find a cave in the rock or dig out a cave in the rock. Dig steps, you know, cut the rock to make steps going down into a cave. When it rained all winter, the water would collect in that cave because it was like below the ground level. And then all year long, the water would stay there during the summer. And all year long, you would go there to Tovel. Right? And that's why. Why do you have all these shilas, the mikvahs? It only reaches here, it only reaches here, I have to lie down. Because sometimes in the summer months, the water would evaporate from the mikvah and you wouldn't have quite so much left. That's why in the Mishnayos it's always, you have 40 sa, 39.9 sa. This was real life in those days. In any case, the mikvahs would get very dirty because they were full of rainwater in the winter. So while it was rainy, they weren't so bad. But if they sat for 6 months, they could get a little dirty. So people would go to the bathhouse after the mikvah. Nowadays, our mikvahs are clean, Baruch Hashem. The Chazon Ish was super machmid that the mikvahs should have the highest standards of hygiene. Once someone had a chumrah that they thought there was some chashash, you shouldn't put chlorine in the mikvah. You know, for some chumrah, some chashash, whatever, and the Chazon Ish said, it's usur to listen to this fellow. Because you're going to make it unhygienic, and then people won't want to go to the mikvah, chas v'shalom. You have to have the highest standards of hygiene. Okay, but in the old days, people go to the bathhouse, and then what happened? Some people thought the mikvah wasn't important, only the bathhouse was important, and you can skip the mikvah and just do the bathhouse. You know, like when American Jews came in 1910, and they were saying, oh, we don't need to go to mikveh anymore because we have baths and we have good hygiene. So they made it gzera. Anyone who puts Rosh HaVerubo into Mayim She'uvim or even pours 3 lugim of Mayim She'uvim onto Rosh HaVerubo is not allowed to eat Truma's tummy. As a gzera, they were gozer on taking a bath because you might confuse it with mikveh. So, look at this Makor Shita just handed out, because this is Allah Lamaisa. Ula Achar Tvil Me Mikvah Kshirim says the last Ramadan Sim Reish Aleph, the end of Hilchos Mikvos, after you told in Mikvah Kshirim, Muteris Lekadot America, they should come out so she can go into a bathhouse this is what we call a Shvitz, to heat up. Because to heat up, it wasn't a Shvitz, it was just like the bathhouses were hot and the Mikvos were freezing. So you could just go in and enjoy the warmth. Have a Lachsa Relirchot Zachah, and that's without, in the room, without the water. But to wash afterwards, to bathe afterwards, yesh osrim, there's a day of that asr, is the Mordechai in the name of the Rashbat. That's an acronym, actually, even though here it looks like the guy's name. And the Orzer also brings down v'chein nagu. Our minhag is that it's asr to bathe, the poskim say, or to shower after the mikvah. And the Shach explains why. Shalo yomru hamerchatz hu metara kamo tvila, so that people wouldn't think that a bathhouse is a metara just as well as tvila. Vitara merchatz lechod, and then they'll come to only go to the bathhouse to be tahora. Therefore, you're not allowed to bathe or shower after the mikvah to avoid confusion. Not everyone agrees, says the Gra there. This is the Ramah and the Shach, but against the Gra. Says the Gra, Ola'achar v'chuli, aval v'chuli, perakam v'shav shidal v'alfa, abar rosh v'chuli, a lot of chuleis in the grah. Lo elu mecharin elo chule. Masha inkin laziyav al kfar chalku alav. Everyone disagrees in this, Mordechai. Digzer shabel la truma. Open up a gemara. It says they were gozar on truma. It doesn't say they were gozar on bala. It's maybe that zero is only for truma. She told me the truma did so for all tefillah, so also off the truma. The tefillah counts even for truma. Then he makes a lumbus. It's not that it invalidates the tefillah; it just makes a new tuma. That new tuma is only for truma, etc. He says we know balos chulin is less chomer than truma. So here we have the Rama and the Shach against the Gra. The Gra says no such zero. The Gemara only says truma. And there are among the Shachar Machmer, like this Rashbat, quoted the Mordechai and the Orzerua, who say, no, just like the Rosh for Truma, the Gzerah should also make sense here. Halacha Lemaisa, we are Machmer like the Ramah. A woman should not shower the night after she goes to Mikvah. She can shower in the morning, but she shouldn't shower that day. What if it's a Shasat Chak? What if she needs to shower? Like, I don't know, what if she gets very dirty, or what if she's sensitive, or whatever the case may be? So, what if there are some women who are very, like, you know, sensitive to, like, public germs, etc. Like, you know, they won't go to swimming pools because everyone's germs. They won't go to the bathroom, you know, except in their own house because everyone's germs. And they won't go to the mikvah because everyone told them they're germs, but they have no choice, so they have to go to the mikvah. But then they're not comfortable. How can they sleep with their husband? And, you know, they can barely live. So, is there room to be makel? So, there are... Says the Shiva lady here, in the middle of the page, Anam Lididi Yireh Ba'anyi De'ein Asurach Samach L'Tfil B'Vad. The answer is only soon after Tovlin. D'chshen Nechzot Farlo Beis, if she goes home, Afi She'enim Shemesh Shem Bochav Alayim, she's not going to sleep with her husband until late at night, right? It could be 5 p.m. in a winter, right? And she already Tovl, she's not going to bed yet. Mikol Makom Kevin Shebala No Ge'aba, once her husband touches her, once they touch, Imkeng Farila Tfila. Already, you've seen the Tfila works, meaning... There's no room for confusion. They already touched. So even if she showers now, it's obvious the shower wasn't a time of her. They already touched. How can anyone think it's the shower that's matara her? They already touched. So says the Shevet Alevi, if she needs to shower or bathe, she can touch her husband and then it's okay.
There's only Shasat Chak.
This is a small Shasat Chak. Yeah, he doesn't say you should do the stam for no reason, but even a very small need. So, basically, what's the lechatchila? When should she shower? Lechatchila tomorrow. Next level is, if there's a tzorech, achar shenaga v'bala.
Why doesn't that get rid of the shash?
What?
Why doesn't that get rid of this whole shenaga?
Because someone could still say, it's a good question, meaning why isn't everyone make it? Like, in the standards far, no one says this, like, l'chachil, even this, I took out one piece. He's only saying this if you need to. Why isn't this obvious that no one comes to make a mistake? It could still be that it could indirectly lead to a mistake if someone always goes to the mikvah and then showers even an hour later, it could lead to confusion. So...
The issue is that other people are going to see that women are showering. And
no, I think she might get confused. It's unclear. They don't say it. She'll get confused. Her kids will get confused. Whatever.
Who's seeing them touch? Like, is it help?
What? No, it's for themselves. Okay. What if she can't touch her husband? Wait till touch her husband first. What if her husband's not coming home for a long time, and she fell in the mud on the way home from the mikvah, and her husband's not home yet, or her skin is crawling because she can't stand all the germs. And her husband's not home yet. What should she do? Says it's Tzitzel Yezer. Im kain tu yishgam vokam lohosef ov lomar shagam shirash v'shabas som daf yigo v'zeitz hidyos lechtov shigzera hish lebo bayom. Right, that's where it comes from the whole day. Rashi says the whole day. U'mash v'kol yoshol tefillah, the whole day. Avol benid lebal shem en hag v'rek shachom v'yalma v'sils v'vad. But in nida, meaning he wouldn't be makel l'bay truma. B'meir of yameinu. But in need, there was only a chumra and a das yachin, and the gra's against, and it's only found in the Mordechai, in the name of the Rashbat, and it's only chumra. Then you know what? It's enough to be machmer not to go and wash right away. If she goes home, or she wants to take a bath, because she feels dirty from the mikvah water, because it's public. Even though it's chlorine, it's not actually dangerous, but, you know, she feels bad. No, the minute wasn't to answer her, like, The minhag doesn't have to be so strict, but I know we're knowing to be machmir or not if it's a big shas hatzorah for this woman. You shouldn't object to someone's mekel, and he ends with mikolo amr nil fi as daiti de shapi yishloras hetar lasas miklachas lachar tefila b'mikvah liisha ba lishololakach b'asher shabliza in megish v'tov me tefila b'mikvah meiza shiv shaltiya, for whatever reason. It doesn't have to be a good reason. That's how she feels, right? Remember, facts don't care about feelings, and feelings don't care about facts. Says it's better if she can wash her head separately and her body separately, because the gzera was your head and body, but says the tzitz Eliezer, right? Basically, lechatchila, she should wait till tomorrow. That's what Rashi says, bo bayom. If not, then she should wait till she touched her husband. If not, then she should wait till she comes home. Right? After all, that's not Alatar, literally in the place. Maybe the only goes there if, like, it's the same place, it's next door, whatever. But if you go home, that's already, you're not going to confuse that with the mikvah. What if she can't even wait till she goes home? Right? What if this actually, someone asked me this question. Sometimes women have an allergy or sensitivity to chlorine. They go to the mikvah, the mikvah has chlorine. Like, they'll never go to a swimming pool because their skin is irritated by chlorine. And the longer it stays on their skin, the more it burns their skin. So they have to, if they ever get chlorine, they have to shower right away. So what if a woman, she can't even wait until she goes home. She has to shower right away. Then basically you're being make a legamre against the Ramah, right? Then you're basically just being so much on the grok. Can you do that? Says Rav Avadya. Here, it's a real big shasachak for this because Rav Avadya is based mostly on Sfardi poskim. And, you know, he doesn't quote a lot of Ashkenazi posts, but nonetheless, he says, "Ishalti much of Isha Nida Shetav L'Kadas V'Zrachit V'Ambatya V'Loso Shemik Shlesser Shem Zeres V'Chatzos Maskana Dina Shemoto L'Isha." I skipped all tshuva. "V'Zrachit O'Lishmach Al-Gufa Mayim Chayim Tzeis Ben Mikvah V'Ein B'Zach Shash Klal." Okay, Rav Avadya is Mekel. He quotes many people. Again, some of it's based on the idea that maybe Minigaret Strolls like the Sfardim, which we don't normally accept that part of Rav Avadya. But lemaisa, the minhag poskim is that when you're stuck, you rely on Rav Avadya. What are you supposed to do? It's not really relying on Rav Avadya. It's relying on the Gra, right? So therefore, if not, then it's just mutter, right? So we try to minimize the amount of compromise we need. But lemaisa, when push comes to shove, if we have no choice, then we'll be mako like the Gra and like Rav Avadya. Because the truth is, it's really only Das Yachid that has this Kseira. The Gemara only talks about Trupa. The Gra's really right. It's really a Chumra and a Silsol. It's a Das Yachid. And then we can say it's a Chumra and like the Chumras if you can.
Would a Shazahat be considered like if there's a Shash that if she doesn't shower, like other people will realize that she went to the mikvah, like she smells like the mikvah or something like that?
I mean, look, every situation you have to judge that situation. I would be reluctant to be too mako because of that. Like, let her put on perfume. You know, it might depend how mako we want to be. Like, I'd be reluctant to rely on Rav Avadya for that.
No.
You have to tell me after she touched her husband, then I could see it. You know, but whatever. In these cases, you have to use your judgment.
Have you heard Rav Schefter? She does.
Rav Schefter's very macro about this, I heard.
Until the next night.
Yeah, Rav Schefter is very machmir. He says Bo Bayom of Rashi means the next halachic day, not the next day that when you wake up. He's very machmir on this. Lemaisa, if you're a Talmud of Rav Schefter, you should follow Rav Schefter's chumrah till the next night. If you're not a Talmud of Rav Schefter, this should not be on the top of your list of Rav Schefter's chumras to adopt.
The interesting part that's based out of the Tara, so you have to wait until.
His svaras are always very, very strong. But lemaisa, you know, in lamdas, Rav Schefter is very, very strong. Lemaisa, that's a das yach, a very, very big das yachid, about a very mechudish gzeira that probably doesn't even exist. And I don't recommend following that chumrah.
What do you think most people follow?
No, most people follow, they wait till the morning. Meaning, even if there be no bar mitzvah, most people wait till the morning. She just went to the mikvah. Why don't she go home and shower till the morning?
Is it mikvah?
Mikvah water is very clean.
There's some people going into it.
Okay, most people don't care.
Could you have a vote with people that heard in Kala class? I'm just curious.
No one here ever took a Kala class.
Why?
I don't know. Do we think most women like care about having the mikvah water on them?
No, not the caring. I'm saying I think we don't even go to that night. You know, Nuburger Pass can still go at night, not even Shas of Chag.
Really? Okay. Seder.
Shower at night?
We always have machlokes on Nuburger. Anyway, Lemaisa, I think that you don't really need anyone for machlokes. Lemaisa, you know, everyone should use their judgment in this situation. It's hard for me to believe that Neuberger would say that it's... But what does it mean? Even if he said it's mutter to touch your husband and shower that night for no reason.
Okay.
I mean, no one would do it for no reason anyway. So it becomes a subtle just how you express it, etc. You know, so there's no point fighting about it. No, no, since that's not for halachic reason, we're not knocked on this. What about a man who tolls to go to Har Bais? That I wonder. I don't know. Like, would the man shower after he told to go to Har Bais? Could be then, maybe we would be machver. Although it's hard to tell, because, you know, if it's more of a minhag to be choshev das yachid, who knows? You never know what... Klal Yisrael was no hate for going to Har Bais since they only started doing it 10 years ago. Right? So it's always hard to tell with these things. Okay, well, someone told me, who's friends with the Har Bais people, that they generally try to adopt all the chomers of Hilchos Nida. But again, you know, maybe someone else's friends with other Har Bais people tell me otherwise. It's hard to tell. I'm not in the Har Bais scene. I'm a Talmud of Lichtenstein. Okay. Simon Kuf Tzadi Tess. What? I mean, Rav Lichtenstein wasn't good at being very against things. He was always very moderate and complex, but he was against it. Yeah. He was against it. And the truth is that I spoke to a lot of people on the Har Bais. Ruba de Ruba of the times, I'm just not impressed with the way they report their experience. You know, it becomes very, like, nationalistic, and I'm all in favor of nationalism. You know, but I'm not sure that's why you should go to Har Bais. You know, sometimes it becomes touristy, becomes cool, etc. Only once, a certain prominent balabas from Englewood, he went up to Har Bais. He asked me if I wanted to come with him. I told him I don't really hold for it. Okay, so I said, what did you feel? He said, I went there, I felt this immense sense of yearning that something was so missing. And I said, okay, that's the right feeling. Okay. Lo afrei, I'm okay with him. You know, it becomes a tourist trap, not to mention the fact that people end up doing Yisurim D'Oraisa right and left, because no one's, you know, people aren't as careful as they should be. So, I'm still against it. Even if I'm the last that's even me personal life is against, I will still be against it. Simakov Tzadi Tess! So the Gemara says that who has been talking chafifa? Ezra. Ezra has been talking chafifa. Ah, what does that mean? Midoraisa, you don't need to be clean to go to the mikvah? How can that be? Or it says, no, midoraisa, you need to be clean, but what do you need midoraisa? What's the word they use? Iyun. Midoraisa, you need iyun. Right? So that's what the Gemara says, you need Iyun Midoraisa, and Ezra was Matakin that you need Chafifa. Iyun means checking, Chafifa means cleaning. Okay, what exactly does that mean? Midoraisa, you need Iyun. What do you need to check, Midoraisa? So, there are three opinions, maybe, definitely two opinions. The simple shot is, what do you need to check? The two simple opinions are, maybe it means just the rosh. You need to check your hair, because hair could always get tangled and caught, etc. Or, maybe it means the rosh plus the guf. Or, the Tor thinks the Ramban says, and the Taz says, no one can ever hear it. Hold that, they're ridiculous. Maybe it only means the guf. Okay, Lamaisa, what does it even mean? Does it mean... what you need to check midoraisa? Your guf and your rosh, or just your rosh, could be up to a three-way machlokas. The Beis Yosef thinks it's a three-way machlokas. Says the machria, the shach, in sivkatan beis, says the shach, haskamas, etc., etc. Aval mashatrichal ayin b'chol gufash lo yidav rechotz is midoraisu v'ayin b'ran shevi beis Yosef. That's a sheet of the Ran. We paskin. This is the sheet of the Ramban and the Ran, and this becomes the sheet of the Shach. We paskin, which makes a lot of sense. You have to check everything midoraisa to make sure you don't have a chatzitza. Technically, midoraisa, you just have to check enough to make sure you don't have a chatzitza on your roof. Okay, but you have to check. Always makes a lot of sense just to look to make sure that you don't have any chatzitzas. The more interesting machlokas is Takanas Ezra, is that you need chafifa. It's not enough to check. You actually have to clean. You have to comb your hair and wash it, etc., etc. What was Ezra Mitakin? Here we have a real machlokas Rishonim, although it's a lopsided one. Says Rabbeinu Shmaya B'Shem Rashi. Guf plus Rosh, your whole body. Ezra is talking to wash your whole body. Rava, I think, says, it's good to proper always teach your wife to wash her beis hastarim. So yeah, Ezra is metaken to wash your whole body. And then it's good to also wash the beis hastarim. However, that is not what all the other Rishonim say. All the Rishonim say, that means only your Rosh. As is attacking to wash your hair. Why? Because hair is really hard to keep clean and untangled. But your body, you wasn't attacking to wash. It's enough. Your body wasn't attacking to wash. It's enough to just check it. Okay, and then what happened? And we pass like most Rishonim. Takanas Ezra is only your hair. But then what happened? The Gemara says that Rava says, in Daf Samach Vavim Beis, the only Lamed Olam Sof Beis, the Isha Madechas Beis Pateha V'mayim. Okay, there's a whole deal, we're not getting into the Tazir and the Beis Yosef in the Torah, to say Beis Hastarim and Beis Hakmatim, if so, why is it redundant? Doesn't matter. The point is, all the Vavim Beis says, so only the Rosh. What then happened historically? Rava, he didn't say you're Chayav, but La'olam, right? More than an Eitza, less than a Takana. Okay, we'll say it's from Rava. And we Paskin, we'll see, says the Shach, for example, in Sukkotin Aleph, or maybe Sukkotin Beis, let me check. Sukkotin Beis, Haskan, supposed to be Takanas Ezra, Ein Olam Chafifa Seyar. Okay, this is how we paskin, that it's only your head. But Rava added Beis Hastarim, Beis Hakvatim. Why? Because it's easier for stuff to get stuck there, right? And then the minhag is to wash the whole body. So we paskin, there were four historical stages. Midoraisa, you just need to ma'ayin. And we pass on your whole body in here, and you don't need to wash anything. Just check that it's clean. It's good enough. All right? I don't like my kids. Oh, I didn't have to wash my hands. I checked they were clean. Except you shouldn't lie. The Ezra's metakin, you have to wash and comb your hair. Rava recommended and said it's a proper practice. La'olam yilamid adam. He urged us to also wash your cracks and crevices, because those can easily have trapped dirt. And then the min of Yisrael, after the time of the Gemara, is to wash your whole body. Lemaisa, by nowadays, regardless of the history, you have to wash your whole body and comb your hair and wash everything before you go to the mikvah. And that's obviously, nowadays everyone does that every day anyway, practically. But nowadays that's what everyone does. Let's read it in the Mechaber. Then says the Mechaber, Tzricha lahadiach beis Hashechiu beis hastarim shalabamayim. She has to wash her armpits and all the cracks and crevices with water. The lo b'shar mashkin. We'll come back to that. And the rav lisrok seir rosha yafa b'masrek shaloti yena sarosel mivok zavzeh. And to comb her hair well, that her hairs shouldn't be stuck to each other. V'chein tzrichei shalayim b'atva. She is ma'ayin herself b'psara in her whole body. Ubodekas kol gufa samach l'tfilas shalo yela shumdar miyash shechotzeis. And check her whole body before she tovels. There's no dirt that's chotzeis. V'tochav kol gufa. And she should wash her whole body V'tishtof ma'im chayim shas chafifas gufam sarin. She should wash with hot water when she washes her whole body and hair. Notice the structure of the mechaber. It's like, what do you have to do? You have to, based on Rava's encouragement, wash your cracks and crevices, and based on Ezra's to kind of wash your hair. And then at the end he says, and you have to wash your whole body, which is the later midhug. Okay, Lamaise, in the end, you have to wash everything. What's this with Shar Mashkim? You have to use water and not other Mashkim. What's wrong with other Mashkim? So the Taz points out, Zukat and Beis, that other Mashkim could be sticky and could stick onto you and cause a chatzitza instead of removing a chatzitza. Interestingly, the Sidrei Tara makes a, not the Sidrei Tara, the Hamud Daniel in Pesach Chuba Aleph makes a diuk. He says, ah, what's the diuk here? When the Mechaber talked about washing cracks and crevices, the Ramah added not with Shar Mashkim. When he talked about washing your whole body, the Ramah didn't add anything, so he said, diuk. Yeah, if you don't have water, you can use other Mashkim to wash your body, because it won't get stuck because your body's smooth. But don't use other Mashkim to wash the cracks and crevices because it might get stuck. Okay, nowadays we generally have water, we don't have to wash in Shar Mashkim, but technically, if you're careful, you can wash the gully parts of your body with Shar Mashkim, and you'll just make sure it doesn't get stuck.
If a woman does chavib on the whole body, but didn't do Ian, would you say that's still the right stuff?
So, hold that thought for just half a second, okay? Good question. So, that's the question of the Taz. That's really the only interesting question here. In Sivkat and Dalet. That's the Isek of the Taz, Sivkat and Dalet. What does the Taz say? The Taz says it's a little funny. Because the Mechaber says you have to be Ma'ayin, and says you have to be Chofef. Does that mean you have to be Chofef and Ma'ayin? Or like, if you're Chofef, that's good enough. Meaning, me that I say you have to be Ma'ayin. Ezra added Chafifa. Does that mean you have to do Chafifa and Iyun? Or no, Chafifa is like L'chama Sayamana, is better than Iyun. So that's the question. Now that we do Chafifa, is there a separate Chiyuv of Iyun? You would think not. Common sense, you'd say Chafifa is better than Iyun. That includes Iyun. You don't need to do Iyun, but the Mechaber is writing that nowadays. He says Iyun and Chafifa. So if the Mechaber says two, it sounds like there's two things. So that is a big machlokas, and there are three answers to this question. Or at least two and a half. It says the Taz, that's the question. Right? The Mechaber says Iyun plus Chafifa. But why would you need two things? It doesn't make sense. So says the Taz. Taz says, no. He meant Iyun. What's his Lashon? Pirusha Dereisha. What he was saying was, he was saying like this, Iyun, meaning Chafifa, Perusha Dereisha. You need Iyun, and what that means for us is Chafifa. The Chafifa is the Iyun. It's like Iyun, and actually what type of Iyun? Chafifa. That's what he says, Chafifa is Iyun. The Sidrei Tara disagrees, says the Sidrei Tara, it's not found on the page, it was found in the back. He says, no, you could do a chafifa. It's a little funny psychologically how this works. You could do a chafifa without checking during your chafifa that you're clean. I'm not quite sure how you do this. But I would say, like, no. It's just remind you to be ma'ayin toch kedei chafifa. It seems a little funny to me. How can anyone wash their whole body without checking that it's clean? But like, in case you might be weird and say, I'll wash my whole body, but not pay attention to whether or not it's clean when I'm washing it. No, wash your whole body in a way that you pay attention to make sure it's clean. Okay, and that's such an afgunah from the Taz. However, I like the Lechem Simlas pshat. The Lechem Simlas has a nice pshat that is based on the Taz, the Innes of Kadim Gimel. Says the Lechem Simla. I don't think there's so much machlokas in these opinions. There's different pshat and why the Mechaber said two things. Right? Lechem Asimla. Who wrote the Lechem Asimla? The Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. What was his name? Gans Fried. Very good. Says Lechem, he says, ah, sometimes, he says, I don't mean he's being mechadish this halacha, but he says, everyone agrees with. He just says, maybe this is why the Mechaber was redundant. Can you always do Chafifa right before you Tovel? What?
Shabbos.
No, what if Shabbos, for example? What did Mechaber say about Iyun? L'ayin ba'atzim sorber derech l'guma somach l'tfilasa. Can you always do Iyun right before your Tovah?
Yeah.
Yes, Shabbos, it doesn't matter what day, you're always allowed to look, right? You're always allowed to check. So that's why the Mechaber said two things. There's a chiv Iyun and Chafifa. Isn't Chafifa good enough? Yes, if it's somach. But if your Chafifa is not somach, then you need to do a Chafifa and an Iyun. Chafifa not samach, and Iyun samach. If you're toveling Friday night, the Mechaber needs to tell you you have to do two things. Chafifa before candle lighting, and Iyun when you're already in the mikveh building. So, I think that's a nice pshat in the Mechaber. I think it's been doing this. I like his pshat in the Mechaber. Again, it's not a machlok because everyone agrees to him. I just like his pshat in the Mechaber. No! If Chafifa is not samach, then you need two things. Chafifa not samach, and Iyun samach, because it is an accepted halacha, that even when you're marchik the chafifa from the tvila, the Iyun has to be samach mamish the tvila. So I think that's a nice pshat. Okay. But regardless of what the pshat is, meaning lemaisa, all these pshatim are true. You go to the Iyun during the chafifa, okay, you should remember to be normal, and when you're doing the chafifa, make sure that you check that you're clean. And if you do chafifa, not samach l'tvila, you have to do another Iyun samach l'tvila. Like, for example, Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's an interesting discussion of Pesachei Tshuva here. This is very halacha l'maisa. A woman who's mesupak if she checked her hair or not. None of you say, safik d'oraisa. She has to tovel again. Not only that, he says, what if she's mesupak if she combed her hair? Safik d'rabbanan of Takanas Ezra. Maybe she did fulfill the Rabbah, maybe she didn't. Safed Rabbanah is also L'chumrah. Why is Safed Rabbanah L'chumrah? In this case, don't look. Tell me, Misvara. Why would the Nodi say Safed Rabbanah L'chumrah in this case? Because she's Bechezka's Toma. If you have Bechezka's Isser, then even Safed Rabbanah is L'chumrah because of the Chazakah. So he says, if you're mesupak about Iyun, even mesupak about chafifa, you have to be machbir. Then he says that there's a famous machlokas between the Taz and the Nekudas HaKesef back in Siman Samach Taz about salting. Can we say, can we be machbir the suffix with another factor? Right? This, by the way, is very halach lemaisa. Theoretically, suffix Iyun, she's still tmeya. Suffix chafifa, she's still Tmeya. Because whether it's Safek D'Oraisa or Safek D'Rabbanan of Ezra, of Takanas Ezra, Chezkas Isser. However, maybe there's a countervailing Chazaka. Chazaka, she did her routine that she usually does before Toveling. Right? Maybe that's a good Chazaka. That's a big machlog, it's Taz in the Kudus HaKesef. Can you assume that if you're not sure if someone salted the meat, Chazaka they did, they're used to doing it. We Paskin know. You can't assume someone did something just they used to do it. Sometimes people forget to do things. However, and here, this whole Pesachei Tshuva is a little shorthand. You know, you probably have to have once read those Makoros in Masamach Tes to fully follow him, but he points out something very good. He says, if you're Mesopic, if you did Chafifa, we say Safik L'chomer. But if you're Mesopic, if you know you started preparing for Mikvah, you're Mesopic if you did one part. Like this, by the way, this is a classic, like, not OCD thing. Again, I'm not talking about how to treat people with psychological illnesses. I'm talking about just nervous people. I'm not sure if I did this, I'm not sure if I did that, I don't remember if I did this part or that part, etc. I don't mean momish like a suffix that you have can prove is 50-50. I don't remember if I took off my ring before I toveled. I don't remember if I cleaned my ears. I don't remember this, I don't remember that. You know? And let's say they're clean now, right? Her ears are clean now, or her ring's back on now, but that doesn't prove anything. I don't remember if I took out my contacts. You know? So what do we say? I think we could say, ends this Pesachei Tshuva, if you know you did your chafifa and you have a routine, but you're not sure if you might have skipped one part of the routine, we can assume you did your routine. So Allah l'maisa, therefore, okay, each case is a little different. It's very hard. Like, each suffix is really a little different. And it could be there's some room to be machmir if, you know, if the woman's still in the mikvah and she's not a nudnik and, you know, she only has these fakos once every year and it's not going to get out of hand. What?
She's young. She just got married.
Right. You need a lot of psychology for this because you don't want to enable people who are going to, you know, go off the deep end. You know, so if a woman has phacos more than once every 6 months, then I would try to be very harsh and not let them total again. Just because, I don't mean real phacos. I mean like I don't remember if I said Saint Talamater. So Lemaisa, if a woman did her chafifa and she did the normal things, but she doesn't remember one part, then I think that we can assume that she did everything and she did it the right way and she acted as she normally acts and say, this is not a suffix, this is mukhra by the chazak of people doing the normal routine.
Very practically, if someone asks you, I don't know versus I don't think I did, but Rabbi passing differently based on
that? The problem is that this is one thing that's very, very tricky. I've gotten burned a few times on this. The way people express sphakos to you is usually more reflection of their psychological state than of the objective suffix. The same exact thing, one person will say, oh, I really don't think that I did this right, etc. And the other person might say, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was fine. And so you have to be careful in these kind of shaylas. You know, I mean, sometimes you can't. If the person says, I don't think I did, then I guess I would have to be machir. But you have to be careful in your shaylas. There are some people who are just very frum. And they always think they did everything wrong. And then you have to not enable them to, you know, to be from an unhealthy way. So you do have to be careful about these things. And you need a little, you know, need a little psychology for these things. But all else being equal, someone says, I'm not sure if I brushed my teeth when I did my prepared for mikvah. I would say, okay, well, you always brush your teeth when you prepare for mikvah, so you did. We can assume you did. So I would say, I'm pretty sure I didn't. Then I might have to be machmir, unless it was a case where I sensed that this person was just being overly nervous and exaggerating, and then, you know, you might have a responsibility to, you know, not, you know, to stop them before they get into a pattern of an unhealthy type of Yerushalayim. So it does get tricky. You know, it also depends, like, what the situation is. If a woman says, oh, I just, you know, I'm getting dressed in the mikveh, and I'm not sure if whatever, then okay, shkoyach, so go back again. You know, what's going to happen? No one's going to die. You know, it's, you have to also, you know, you have to also use some common sense practical judgment. Okay. But these shilos do come up. But it's called sircha nakat, is the phrase, the Gemara's phrase, originates as Kriya Shema, right? Someone says, they don't remember where they're up to in Kriya Shema. They say Laman, and they're not sure which Uchsavtam they're up to. The Gemara says, they can assume that the second Uchsavtam, because maybe that the first Uchsavtam says Laman. No, they would have kept their routine. So that's where the Taz says, you can assume everyone would have salted the meat. The Shach says back, no, you can't assume they would have salted their meat. After all, it's a big thing. How can they not remember, etc.? But the Shach seems to admit that if it's one detail of something you don't remember if they did, then you can assume they kept their routine. That's the principle here. Okay, Sif Beis. Chafifa shmakam seir lo tiya b'mayim karim. This is a Gemara. Lefisha mesabchem saseir. You can't wash your hair with cold water because cold water causes your hair to get tangled. Again, I'm not an expert in hair care, but we'll take Chazal's word for it. El b'mayim chayim, you should use hot water to wash your hair. It's okay to have water heated by the sun. You don't need water heated by a fire. It's not like one of these chalos things, like for, you know, chalos bishul and Shabbos and Korban Pesach and etc. No, as long as it's hot, it's hot. I don't care if it was microwaved. I don't care if it was left in the sun. I don't know if that is. I don't think we have it. You shouldn't use a certain kind of shampoo. Detergent, because it cuts your hair. It's a very harsh detergent that cuts your hair, and once pieces are cut, like it cuts your hair in half, and then the loose half will easily get twisted around something. The choser mistabek, and then it'll get twisted. The loba ahol, not ohel, right? But ahol, the not a tent, but
aloe,
right? So whatever it is, whatever kind of aloe they had, right? Right. Of course, the tricky part is that you could be notea both, right? As we know. But the fish masabech haseir, because that immediately causes it to get tangled. The lo b'chol dorim masabech haseir, not with anything else that tangles your hair either. Okay, this is a Gemara. This is pretty straightforward. We understand it. Anthram, Ava calls the chatila. Chazal didn't say it's ma'akev. She said you shouldn't. What if she did it by the eved? If she checks it, she sees that her hair is okay, then it's fine. The isha setzivos arofen shlo tochav rosh b'mayim. What if the doctors told the woman it's dangerous? She can't shampoo with water. Rak b'yayin, only with wine. To the best of my knowledge, I don't know of any doctors nowadays who would say this, so I don't think this would come up nowadays. Could a woman have something really rare that I never heard of and the doctors say, don't get your hair wet? Maybe, but I'm pretty sure they'll never say, don't use water, but it's okay to use wine. But if they would, you should check with the doctors whether wine tangles your hair or not. Maybe check with the hairdressers. And if it, meaning if the professionals guarantee for you, basically there's a big machlokas. The Beis Yosef claims the machlokas Turin Maharik. What about Shar Mashkin for washing your hair? Can you use Shar Mashkin for your hair or not? And the Bach says, that's not a machlokas. Can you use Shar Mashkin for your hair? It depends. If it's something that tangles your hair, you can't. And if not, you can. And that's basically what our Mas says. You should lichathilu use water. Don't be weird. Bishasad chak, you have to check if it tangles or not. If any of them became a dover, what if no one can guarantee, no one knows if it tangles your hair? She should test herself. Shach says three times, or at least twice. Test herself when she's not going to mikvah. Wash her hair with wine and see if it tangles her hair or not. And if it doesn't, then she can use it. Bishasad chak. That's what we paskin. You can use shar mashkin bishasad chak if you test it first. Says, however, the shach in sivkatan dalid that you can't use Neser and Ahol, even if you test it. Because no test is going to allow you to violate what Chazal said. The test is only for things Chazal didn't say. He goes into the whole philosophy here. Things that Chazal says, even if we seem to test it and come out differently, you should still respect what Chazal said. However, things that Chazal didn't say, then you should try to be careful. And if you're not sure and you need to, you should test it. Okay, very reasonable. What is this? How is this relevant to us nowadays, assuming that we're all using normal products that they sell in supermarkets and drugstores and not any weird things from thousands of years ago? Shampoo is a good thing to wash your hair with. The big machlok is conditioner. But not for any of these reasons. Conditioner does not cause your hair to tangle. Adrava, conditioner causes your hair not to get tangled. So what's the problem with conditioner? It leaves something in. Shampoo is meant, it's designed, I'm sure some chemists could tell you exactly how it works. It's designed to go into your hair and then wash and come out. That's the way they make shampoo. Conditioner is designed, different conditioners are a little different, but in general designed to stay in your hair and keep it from tangling, which is a laudable goal in general. And you don't want it to tangle for the mikvah. However, the conditioner stays in your hair, it could be a shash of chatzitza. Therefore, what do we say? We say, lechatchila, a woman shouldn't use conditioner before going to the mikvah. Because you don't want to stick in her hair. And if she needs to use conditioner, or if she used conditioner, let's say she needs conditioner because her hair is so curly that if she doesn't condition it, it'll for sure get tangled and she'll be in trouble. Or she accidentally used conditioner. Then she should just wash it out very well. The minig is, I think they teach the kalas. None of us have been in a kala class. I think they teach the kalas. When you prepare for mikvah, you shampoo without conditioner. And if she used conditioner for some reason needed to, then she should just wash it out very well. Maybe it'll be a kol, she left whatever. Okay, you can't see it and you're not makbid, etc. But it's not the end of the world. But if she does use conditioner, she should wash it out very well. But the normal minig is not to use conditioner. Sif gimel. Hachafifa tzricha lios. Oh, this is a big sugya. Okay, this is a very, very big sugya. It's a lot of, not so much lumdus in the sugya, but a lot of like geshmak heshbonos in the mahalach of the sugya, figuring out exactly what paskin and what all the different deos are, given the lateness of the calendar. We will not get into all the lumdus of the sugya, but we will point out that one thing is very clear in the sugya. That there are two options when to do your hafifa. Of course, when do you tovel? At night. What are the two options when to do your hafifa?
Night or day?
During the day, meaning before, or that night. There is a shita that says day is okay and night is not, or night is okay and day is not.
Meaning, it's not like one is better, but we're not sure if they're machbid. It's bin a katzal katzah. There's a shita that night is better than day, and there's a shita that day is better than night. So we'll have to see if there's a way to yield to all the shitas. And we read this stuff in the Shulchan Aruch, we know. What's the svara? You know what? Could you get the board, please? What's the svara to say that the day is better than the night? Oh, first of all, here's the easy part. What's the svara to say that doing chatzitza at night is better than the day? So nothing comes in between, because you have no time to get dirty. At night means right before you dunk. Obviously, it's better to do chafifa right before you dunk than during the daytime when the sun is shining, because then you have no time for it to get dirty. That's called samach l'tvila. Obviously, it's better to not have time to get dirty. That's a pashat svara. So what's a svara that it's better to do during the day?
Can't see it.
Interesting, that's not the svara. The assumption is you light a candle.
More time during the day?
Yeah. More time during the day, or
tovel right away.
You don't tovel during the day. More time during the day.
No, tovel right away at night.
What?
You can tovel immediately at nightfall.
And therefore, what? You're both right, but someone give me the phrase.
Get your husband back.
Mahuma lebesa. After all, you know, let's hope that people have a nice marriage, right? Generally, most people, you know, okay, if there are people in different situations, then we need to get them therapy. Right? But most people, the woman goes to the mikvah, she's been separated from her husband for 12 days, she's in a big rush, she wants to go back and be with her husband again, she has a big taiva. That's a healthy marriage. That after 12 days, you know, she's a big taiva to be back with her husband again. So she might rush and not do a proper chafifa. We're afraid she might speed through the chafifa and skip things, and not be careful, because she's in such a rush for a taiva to her husband. It's called Mahuma Labesa. She's in a rush. Ah, so at night, she might be in a rush for her husband, because as soon as she finishes Chafifa, she can tovel and go back to her husband. Right? If she does Chafifa for half an hour, then it'll be half an hour. If she does Chafifa for 30 seconds, she'll be with her husband quicker, and we're afraid she might give in to her temptation to do Chafifa 30 seconds. But if she does Chafifa during the day, the mikvah's not open yet anyway. And mikvah's not opening for an hour anyway, so there's no rush. So then she'll take her time. Okay, so there's a svara either way. What's the machlokas? The machlokas is, which svara is stronger than the other svara? Right? Is it better to do it during the day? Because the real strong svara is we don't want her to rush? Or no? Basically, you could say it's better to do it during the day. The strong svara is we don't want her to rush. There'll be time in between. We don't think people will get dirty in a short amount of time. Or no, it's better to do it at night, so there won't be time to get dirty in between. She'll be in a rush, and we don't think people will be in a rush. So that's the machlokas amoraim in the Gemara. And that's the machlokas you're showing them how to paskin.
All the other times that we said maybe we're nervous she's not going to tovel correctly, we said, well, she says she does, then we believe her.
Here also b'di'evit, it's okay. This is machlokas lechachila. So, but lechatchila, we are nervous about these things, right? So lechatchila, what should she do? She comes to ask us in the kala class, what should I do every month? So we have to tell her lechatchila what's best, right? So, you got the board, right? So here, it's a very, very hard cheshbon to follow the Gemara exactly what the maskana is. And in the end, the Gemara's maskana is very clear. It says, there's a difference between efshar and efshar. But we have no idea what that means. Does that mean when it's efshar during the day, when it's efshar do it at night, or when it's efshar do it at night, when it's efshar do it during the day? Everyone agrees if it's efshar. If you have no choice, either one is okay. But what's lechatchila? Is maskana the Gemara lechatchila do it at night? And if you can't, then do it during the day? Or is the Gemara saying lechatchila do it during the day? And if you can't, then do it at night? We're not sure. So there are three or four opinions. Three opinions had a paskin, a fourth opinion as to a minhag. Rabbeinu Tam is the most vocal opinion. Says Rabbeinu Tam, in the end, it's a tie, so do whatever you want. They're both okay. Right? Says Rabbeinu Tam, either way. In the end, it's a tie, so we pass in either way. Safek lechatchila lekula. Right? Safek, what's the best thing to do? And it's an even machlokas. So we say, that's not a common sheet among the Rishonim. The two common sheets in the Rishonim are the sheet of the Gemara. Says Rashi, And the Darkei Moshe thinks that all the Rishonei Ashkenaz are noted that way. Not 100% clear, right? Darkei Moshe, the shame, or let's trust the Darkei Moshe. That's what their note, I think, is Lashon is. What's the Lashon Darkei Moshe? We'll see what they will actually say. But what the Darkei Moshe says is, his Lashon is, Lenin Dina Nira, Nira Shatosu Mordechai Esmai Vesever Truma Schema Ludas Rashi. Okay, Nira is throwing in the note there. Note that, right? So, the Rishonei Ashkenaz, what does Nira mean? Nira means they don't say black and white. Then you would say Nira. Right, but he thinks. So, Rishonei Ashkenaz, Lefi, the Darkei Moshe. What do they say? They say, if Efshar, you do it during the day. In Efshar Bayom, then you do it in the Laila. Okay, if you can during the day. If you can't do it during the day, do it at night. Yes?
I could be wrong. Doesn't Rashi say, I thought Rashi says that if Efshar, you do it during the day, and then if Efshar, you do it, like on Shabbos, you do it on Erev Shabbos.
No, I think Rashi admits it's a 3-day Yontif, then you do it at night. Does Rashi not admit that on 3-day Yontif you do it at night? I thought Rashi did. The Shach tries to get out of it. That's a Yefshar. Oh.
So what about the Erev Shabbos case? Would you classify that as an Yefshar?
That's actually a machlokas within... It's a machlokas Rishonim what he means. Or machlokas Achronim at least what he means. But what did she say here? I thought it was here. Matze Yontif. So it's that's machlokas. By Matze Yontif, mean only 3 days or even 1 day. Okay, so we're not sure. That's why it's machlokas. He says, what's Efshar? If it's Matze Yontif, then do it at night. Does that mean only Matze 3-day Yontif? Otherwise, do it during the day? Or even Matze 1-day Yontif? Okay, we'll get that. That's Rashi and maybe other Rishonim. Who's the arch nemesis of Rashi here? The Shiltos. Right? I mean, this is really not such a mainstream. These are two mainstream Shitas. Says the Shiltos and lots of other Rishonim, although it's mostly Rishonim Svarad. The Rambam, the Rif, the Rashba. Rif, Rashba. Okay, the Rif should have been before the Rambam to be in chronological order. They say no. That's about Maskana, the last line. Had the Efshar, had the Lo Efshar. But which is ideal? If it's Efshar, they should do it at night. Why? Because you don't want to have time to get dirty in between. If you can't do it at night, and then we all know it's easy to figure out what the case is when you can't do it at night. When can you not do Chafif at night? If you're toveling on? Friday night. Can't do Chafif on Friday night. It's Aser. It's Malachos. Then you do it during the day.
Even if you say day, you still say it should be as close to, as possible, or...
Yes, we still stay as close as possible, but like, you know, as close as you can. I don't mean like, you know, like you have to go to the ends of the earth, but yeah, obviously as close as you reasonably can. Yes. Now, however, what does the Rush say? The Rush, Tosfos, the Rush, what do all the Rishonei Ashkenaz actually say? Right?
The Minhag in Tosfos, the Rush, the Smag, and the Sefer Truma.
Basically, what do all the Rishonei Ashkenaz actually say? The Darkei Moshe says he thinks they paskin like Rashi, the Dina. But we know what they say, Leminhaga. What's the Minhag they say? That Lechatchila, if you can. What should you do if you can? Rabbein Tzad says, if you can, do whatever you want. Rashi says, no, if you can, you must do it during the day. Only if you have no choice, do it at night. Shiltos says, if you can, you must do it at night. Only if you have no choice, do it during the day. What do the Rush and the Tosfos and all the Rishonei Ashkenaz say? What should you do if you can?
End of the day, beginning of the night.
You should be machmir for both opinions. How can you be machmir for both opinions? Start during the day and end at night. If you start during the day, you're not in a rush because you know the mikvah is not opening for another half hour. But if you end at night, then you don't have any time to get dirty in between. So basically, it's like do chafif and binish rushes. Right? Depending on how long your Bnei Shmashos is. Right? Many people's Shita and Bnei Shmashos is a good amount of time for Chafifa. Again, how long does it take to do Chafifa, by the way? How long does it take to do chafifa depends on how long you've been married, right? If you've been married for 1 month, it probably takes you a very long time to do chafifa. If you've been married for 5 years, if you're married for 5 days, it probably takes you 2.5 hours. If you've been married, who knows? If you've been married for 5 years, then, I don't know, it takes you half an hour to be extra super machbid, whatever it is. It also depends on your personality. Okay, but it very much depends on how long you've been married. Like everything else, when you first do it, you're very nervous and deliberate about it. And then you get into routine and you get good at it.
Are you able to split up how people like do?
Good question. Okay, so hold that thought. What is the minhag? Is lahatzil b'yom v'ligmor b'layla, and then you have your cake and eat it too. Ask Mickey. That's a very nice, and we pass that minhag. Very nice minhag. But it's a wonderful minhag for June. Right? You come home, you eat dinner, eat parver milchik dinner, right? You come home, eat dinner, you put the kids to sleep, you know. At 7:30, you start doing chafifa, and then you tovel at 8, and or whatever it is, and Shalom Yisrael. What are you doing December? Right? When you're at work. First of all, the mikveh in a lot of smaller places doesn't even open at 6 in the winter. In big cities it might. In small towns, the mikveh's not going to open at 5 o'clock in the winter because there's not that many people. And they can't have the balanit sit there for so many hours. So, and even if the mikveh's open, you're at work, whatever. So what do you do in that case? So you might say, so you don't keep them in that case. Yeah, sure. So Rabbi Willig says, nope, you can split up. Rabbi Willig says you could be yotze the minhag by splitting up. What does that mean? When she gets up in the morning before she goes to work, she starts preparing. And then when she comes home from work and gets and goes to the mikvah, then she finishes preparing. Okay, so is the lemaisa? It's not mochach in the Shulchan Aruch. The answer might be, so you don't do this minhag, right? Again, this minhag is only if you can. But Rabbi Willig says, no, you could still be Mekayim this minhag. Start before you go to work and finish after you come home from work.
Is there a practical split up? Meaning certain things should be done in the morning, certain things should be done in the afternoon, or just whatever you want?
So there are certain things that... there are certain things very easy to do in advance, meaning you cut your nails, right? And, you know, you check for any big things of dirt and whatever. So it's a little funny because, again, with our hygiene now, like whatever you do, you could easily do again anyway. And she washes her hair in the morning. She's not going to wash it again at night. I mean, come on, like, it's easy to do that. And we always say you should comb your hair at the last minute. Lamaisa, you know, these sort of non-standard shower things like cutting your nails and, I don't know, checking, you know, if you have any rough spots or dead skin or scabs or etc., you know, that you can start doing in the morning and then you finish at night. And Lamaisa, it's not a big deal. It's not such a big deal because if you don't find this many, everyone agrees that during the day you're yotzei and during the night you're yotzei, right? If it's not efshar. Question is, what's the best? Okay, let me just,
What is it? I know it doesn't mean that she's supposed to tovel as soon as she can on her night of Tula. Like, what's the gather of, like, when she's allowed to push it off? I mean, work, did you go to work? Like, I understand that, but, like, or if it's convenient, if it's more convenient...
Is there an idea she has to tovel as soon as she can? Is that true? If you were told that, then at least someone holds it, right? At least some rabbi holds it.
Isn't that obviously that people should be during the day so that she can go right away and then...
Yeah, I'm saying, if she can tovel at 5 o'clock, does she have to tovel at 5 o'clock instead of 5:30? I understand that she has to tovel tonight instead of tomorrow night to have the mitzvah of being with her husband, etc. But she'll be with her husband all the same, whether she tovels at 5 or at 5:30. So,
or at 10 o'clock.
So, lemaisa, I think if you're going to tovel earlier or later, look, if you can do this minute and do hafif and beta shmashas and that works out for you, so that's a good reason to tovel early. But I don't know if there's a pressure to tovel earlier rather than later. I mean, obviously, in common sense, you're going to go tovel at midnight, so, it's not going to be good for being with your husband. I don't know if there's, is it a reason about Diva Lemitzos? Shaking the lulav first thing in the morning?
don't know, because we pass against tefillah is not as not mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah to be with her husband. So she's not going to be with her husband. They're not going to go to bed earlier if she tovels earlier. Again, if they would, meaning you tell me she could tovel at a normal time to go to bed or tovel at 2 a.m., and then her husband will be asleep already, then obviously that's common sense. But stop to tovel at 5 versus 6, I'm not convinced that it's a mitzvah to go earlier. Unless she's doing her chafif and binish mashals, then. If she's doing her chafif, if she's zochen to do chafif and binish mashals, then go right away. It's not a time to get dirty. But she's delaying her chafifa anyway. I don't know if there's... I'm not convinced. Okay, we're going to have to stop. Let's just point out... there's a lot of lumdas here, but no, we're going to have to stop in a minute. Sorry. Let's just point out, how do we paskin? We haven't read the Mechaber yet. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rashi or the Shiltos? That's the big question. Like, what's really better? If you can do both, wonderful. But what's really better? Night or day? Says the Mechaber, Chafifa tzricha lios lechatchila samach letzvilasa. Lechatchila, it has to be right before she tovels. The best minhag is to start doing it during the day and then keep doing it during the Yishmash until it gets dark while it's titbol. And then she should tovel again. So this is clearly the best. You know, this is the best. But the Mechaber says, but what's the real din? What's just lechatchila? Very clearly the Mechaber's like the Shiltos. That's the din. Right? The din is like the Shiltos. It's best to do both. But what's the real psak? Like the Shiltos. And then he adds, V'chein min kosher shalfi shechof v'tisa ima masrik v'tisatvila tisok sham. Like it's a good minute that even if she did chafifa, if she did it at home, she should bring a comb and do a quick comb in the mikvah just to be on the safe side. Uv'shasad chak after amas shetricha lochav bayom. Shasad chak, she has to do it during the day. Oh, she efshel lochav bayom tzuchol ovla. Or she can't do it during the day, she has to do it at night. She can do either way. Right? As long as she's not in a rush and she does it properly. Meaning, either way is okay. Right? Meaning, I shouldn't say we possibly agree on top. Right? This is B'Shas HaDchak, you could do either way. L'kulei Alma. Everyone agrees that B'Shas HaDchak either way is okay. It's not like we're made of top. But the Mechaber possibly like the Shiltos, who disagrees very vehemently, Kedarka Makodesh, the Shach. This long shach goes through proving that Rashi's right and everyone else is wrong. Proving in his opinion, obviously. The shach proves that Rashi's really right, and he establishes very, very strongly that Rashi's right. So the shach thinks Rashi's really right. The Mechaber thinks the Shilto's really right. The Ramad doesn't tell us either way, but it's not such a big nafkamina. I know my Rabbi Willig is very much in agreement with the Mechaber against the shach here. He thinks Pashup Shah is much more like the Shiltos than Rashi. But it's not such an afkamina. Why? Because the best thing is to do both anyway. And if you're stuck, either one is okay. So therefore, it's not such an afkamina we paskin, because Lechachi will be machber for both of them. And if you can't, then either way is good. So it's not so much of an afkamina, the machlokes between the Shach and the Mechaber, because you try to do both if you can, and really either one is good enough. I'll just point out one thing. The Shach, the end of Sukkot and Vav, and then we will stop, says that he quotes the Maharsha Shaul, who says they made a takana in a certain place where they couldn't do chafifa during the day for some reason, because the goyim would annoy them or whatever, or harass them or something. He says they made a takana to do chafifa for an hour. Why? Because he thinks even Rashi admits it's okay to do at night if you do an hour, because then how can you be in a rush if you spend an hour? Therefore, some posts can say, if you can only do chafif at night, you should spend an hour. I'm not convinced it's a chiyuv gomer. It's just an idea of the Maharshal. But, at the very least, what would we say, based on this Maharshal, the end of Sukkot involved with the Shach, that if you do only at night, then spend up to an hour. What do I mean by spend up to an hour? If a woman honestly says, I clean myself as far as I can and I have nothing else to do, then I don't think it's a chiyuv gomer to spend an hour. It's just a takana that Rashal made in his town once. However, the idea is a good idea. What do we teach the kalas? We teach the kalas that if you can only do chafif at night, you should spend an hour to make sure you're not in a rush. And if then the kala comes back after she's married and says, I tried to spend an hour, but it's been 40 minutes and I have nothing else to do, then we say, okay, that's okay.
But you should try to spend up to an hour, meaning give yourself an hour, right? Allot yourself an hour and try to be honest with yourself. You know, certainly schedule an hour. You should schedule an hour and try to be honest with yourself. And if it doesn't take you an hour, it's not really ma'akif. Okay, so that is the basic halacha. We'll get some more details and finish up Hilchas Nida, Amir Tzashem, next slide.
When's the next year?
The next year is on Sunday? I was thinking of maybe like squeezing it in earlier, but
there might be shear at 3 o'clock. If I guess shear at 3 o'clock.